Hi, you're listening to People Are Strange, a podcast starring me, Andy,
and me, JK. Please be advised, this show contains strong language and explicit descriptions of adult situations.
People Are Strange is not intended to promote the use of drugs or a life in the arts.
If you do decide to experiment, please do so from an informed and responsible place.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Because after all, people are strange. All right, so here we are at, back in the Tree Room Studios with Inez Nacera.
Hello.
Yes, very happy to have you here with us on People Are Strange.
I'm super pumped to be here. I'm like super grateful and thankful. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you're very welcome. Thank you. Yes.
It's a very cold and gray day outside, but yeah. It's nice and warm in here.
So you do a lot of work in theater, in musical performance as well. You're a singer. You were in bands. You do a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I,
What's the most recent thing you did?
The most recent thing I did was Vanishing Point at Still Point Theater Initiative, and that was a ton of fun. It was a lot of work. It was really hard. It was amazing because I was working with two of my really close friends, and it was a show where we had to not judge what we were doing and just be super present and just try to tell the story. And it was a great experience, a great learning experience for me to just try anything and really trust in the director, trust in the work, and trust in your gift of storytelling.
What kind of show is that? So like
it was a workshop, but it's a musical. It's three women who vanished, and we're pretty much telling their story in the perspective of those three characters and a bunch of other characters that are related to them. So I played Amelia Earhart, and Zoe Kantor and Nina Kaufman played Amy McPherson and Agatha Christie. And so I also played like a husband of theirs or a mistress or a mother.
So it was just three actresses.
Three actors. Oh, cool. And we played like six different characters and switching on and off, which was pretty hard, but
they
it was really
too,
exciting. Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about that show.
Oh, so awesome. Well, I'm really glad because we weren't sure. I mean, it's one of those shows where you're like, is it reading? I don't know, but
just going.
You just got to do it.
Yeah.
So what's it like playing multiple characters? Is that... Have you ever done that before?
I've never done that before. Like, really having to be six distinctive characters and trying to make them
all... And it's
all...
serious, right?
Yeah, it's pretty... I mean, there are some, like, comedic parts, but, I mean, you want to be as sincere as possible and try to make them as three-dimensional as possible. So, it was hard. I mean, being Amy, who's, like, kind of a tomboy, and then going into, I don't know, a larger... older man to like a really old mom to I don't know, it was really hard to change your body to fit what they would look like, to change your voice, to change the accent, but to really keep the energy flowing.
Did you swap costumes at all? Did you have, or was it kind of just like a neutral costume?
Yeah, we had our neutral costumes as our main character, and we stayed on stage the whole time, so there's no room to change. But there were some pieces that we added on throughout
that
the
makes
show.
It a little bit easier.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit... Like, yeah, exactly. I know Amy did that. She had like a little cape almost when she was doing her sermons, and people had props and accessories that helped, but...
There was a tempo to it, though, that didn't really... You know, there wasn't like a lull that would allow for a costume change.
We had to like put it on while we were saying our monologue or whatever.
Sounds intense.
Jump right into a character
jumping,
and then jump right back into singing. And
exactly.
That's good, though, because sometimes if you... You know, sometimes there is an effect where when you go off stage, you start to feel your energy dip a little bit, you know? But if you're on stage the whole time, not a chance for that.
Well, and even before the show, you guys started out on stage while the audience was coming in and getting settled, and to do that, to be out there for 15, 20, 25 minutes if they're holding house before you even then have to get into the show to maintain your energy and focus.
Totally, yeah. I think the last four shows maybe I did, we had to do a pre-show. So it's really interesting, like, a lot of people adding that element into theater. I mean, a lot of shows do that. But consistently, doing pre-show has actually really helped my performance, because it's more time to, like, get into the character, to, like, really feel out the space and to relax,
I guess. Now, what, for those unfamiliar, what do you mean by a pre-show?
Oh, pre-show is, I guess, a show before the show starts. So characters will go on stage and there won't be any songs or lines or monologues or anything, but people might be standing on stage communicating, pantomiming quietly on stage before the show actually starts. So, for example, in Vanishing Point, Zoe, Nina, and I were on different corners of the stage, and we just sat down and we were just sitting, focusing anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So this is the bit when the audience is coming in.
Yes, the audience is coming in, okay. And no one's like fully sitting down or anything. No one's really paying attention. You don't have to, but it's kind of just to set the mood before the show starts.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's cool too, because yeah, a lot of times, you know, unless you have like some sort of set pre-show bit, it's usually like an improv thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the time you don't really get to improv as your character. You're just going through the script, you know. So that probably, I can see how that would help kind of get into it.
Totally. Know? It's a lot of fun. I
find it can be very rewarding. We had an old director as well who, I remember one rehearsal specifically, we weren't allowed to use any of the lines from the show. We had to kind of improv our way through it. And
cool.
That was an exercise. And then he was like, all right, I want you to find a balance where it's like 80% scripted. Yeah. But just having to kind of think as your character can sometimes mm-hmm. help you deepen your relationship with it, so that when you're coming back to what it actually is in the text, you can approach it a little more organically.
Exactly. I seem to recall you and I spent that entire improv rehearsal concocting an alternate storyline in which you ate my cat.
It was a dog.
My dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We were old men.
Yeah. We feuded. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So are you mainly an actress, or is that what you do mostly?
I would say I'm mostly a musician.
Okay.
I'm also a wedding singer, so that's my job, and which is so much fun, and I get to work with fantastic musicians all around the East Coast, which is a lot of fun, and we get to travel. And I did this one wedding in West Virginia, and they housed us in a cabin with a fire pit, and
oh, wow.
It was
perfect.
Awesome. So it's great. But yeah, I think I'm primarily a musician. I also in a band called Lush Life, and it's a lot of fun. It was my first recording experience, so it was a great test run to see if I really did like recording and making music and songwriting and stuff like that.
When did you start with that? How long have you been with Lush Life for?
We started, I want to say, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Oh my god. That's crazy to think about that now, but about 2 or 3 years ago, it was me and one of my dear friends, Greg Wellum, who's also in Super City, which is a very popular band in Baltimore, and also Montclair. We signed up for this jazz competition where you perform with a small group. So it's just me and him, and we wrote a song called Chicago, along with other songs. And we did some jazz standards, and we ended up winning the competition, which meant that we were able to perform our own recital, which was really exciting. So we wrote Chicago, and then we're like, let's just record it. And then we recorded it, and we're like, let's record an EP. And then we raised money on Kickstarter and recorded that. And then after that, we've just been performing in Baltimore and DC ever since.
So this is like original music that you've been...
Yeah, it's all original. Me and him write the music, and he arranges it. And we have more projects that we're interested in doing. We're really interested in homelessness in Baltimore, and we're thinking and hoping of writing a song that where we all the proceeds go to an organization that helps the homeless in Baltimore. So that will be really exciting. Just some great community things that we want to do through music. So it's.
Then you've been doing a lot of work with a lot of different theater companies, doing
yes.
musical theater? Or?
Yes, I do primarily musical theater. The last couple theaters I've worked at were, well, Still Point and Keegan Theater in DC and Signature Theater in Arlington and Olney Theater in Olney, Maryland. So I've been focusing a lot of my theatrical time, I guess, in DC, because that's just where I'm closer to for home, and I plan on moving back there when I'm done with school. And So, and I love the DC theater scene. I love the Baltimore theater scene, and it's so exciting that it's growing and it's fantastic. But I do primarily a lot of theater in DC, and hopefully I'll be back there soon doing some more stuff for the next season.
What's the theater scene like there? I don't think I've ever seen anything there.
Well, it's awesome because I feel like the scene is being more brave and doing more new work. A lot of new work is being done, especially at Signature Theater. They definitely do like 3 or 4 new shows a season, which is really exciting. And a lot of shows are like classic shows and family shows that are very familiar. Blockbuster shows are being done there as well. But it's a great community of just amazingly talented people, very warm, and we're all a family and we all love each other. And it's just a great amount of big equity houses and like really small non-equity houses, and it doesn't matter where you're working, everyone supports each other and we all see each other's work, and it's just a great community, and I love it there.
When did you first get into performing? I mean, it seems like you've been doing this just forever, but I mean, maybe not.
Did you start out singing? Or?
Yeah, I definitely started out singing in 5th grade in school choir. I remember we had to choose an instrument in 4th grade, and I really wanted to play the saxophone, and then I was too shy, and my best friend at the time wanted to play flute, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll play flute too, and I hated it. I was so freaking bad at
it. Did you even have the lung capacity for a sax in 4th grade?
Oh, man, I don't know, but I would have had it later.
Yeah, for sure.
I really wanted to play sax, and maybe I'll try later on, but I left and I hated band and I didn't want to do it, and then I joined choir and I loved it, and then I started taking voice lessons and doing community choirs, and choir was like my way of singing, and I did choir from 5th grade to like sophomore year of college and just kind of stuck with it and I loved it, and then I started doing theater and doing musicals, and then I was obsessed with singing.
How'd you transition from like singing to theater?
My
audition one day.
Or? Yeah, I think. Well, I did like a middle school musical, and I like didn't have that much fun. I didn't have that many friends or something, and I didn't really like it. But then I auditioned in high school, and then I just got hooked, and I loved it so much. And that was The Wiz, but I ended up playing Pitt in that one, and then the next year I did Beauty and the Beast. Who did I play? A silly girl and. The wardrobe, and it was just so much fun. And after that, we did Les Mis, and I was like, oh my god, I am obsessed with musical theater. This is so great, and I love the show.
You were hooked.
Yeah, I was hooked, and I just had to do it. So I've been trying to do a musical every year, and it's happened, and I've been super blessed for all the opportunities. And
what was it that made you so connect with it so fully, do you think? Do you think it was like the people, the community that you got to know, or was it the act of singing on stage in front of an audience?
I think looking back, it was definitely the people that I met and grew to be so close to that really made me love theater. Just they were so open and so welcoming. We had just an amazing group of students that loved music and loved theater, and everyone was so supportive and so talented. And I think just being around such talented people and it being such a humbling experience and rewarding, because you're just stepping out there and doing such a naked art and with all your friends, it was so much fun. But I think it was also being able to sing on stage and storytell at the same time, and not just singing a song just to sing a song. I love that element of storytelling with singing. That idea was just amazing to me, and I wanted to do that with every show. I love the storytelling part of singing.
Yeah. You ever thought about writing a concept album?
No.
It might be right up your alley.
Probably.
Storytelling music.
That's a good idea.
That should be your next project.
Yeah, definitely have you guys a part of that.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm in.
That is a good idea. I've never thought of that.
Do you ever play any instruments?
I play a little bit of piano. I write a lot of songs based on piano, but I'm not like a great classically trained pianist, but what I try and do is I'll just hit like random notes and then see what I think sounds catchy or cool, and then I'll write off of that. So I'm kind of stepping outside my comfort zone of playing, but I'm also just like playing around and seeing what happens and just letting something natural happen. And I do play a little bit of bass, but I'm so bad. I will never play in public.
Bass guitar or upright bass?
Bass guitar. I would love to learn upright bass. Maybe someday.
That is a cool
a bit of a commitment to acquire an upright bass.
Yes.
Housing it at the very least. Oh, you have to buy a whole room
yeah.
for it.
That's something you can do really casually. Oh, I'll just buy this.
Yeah, I'm just going to get this upright.
6.5-foot tall instrument.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bring it home in the car. How do you fit one of those in your car? Like, you would have to strap it to the hood or get a van. You know?
Or a hatchback if you just like fold it down. Yeah, those... Our bass player, Brian Brunsman, who plays around Baltimore, and he's fantastic. I always wonder, like, how he's just carrying around his upright everywhere. Yeah. I mean, he plays electric bass, but I think having a bigger car or a hatchback is the way to go to be a musician with all the amps and the wires. And
it's a lifestyle commitment to play an upright bass.
Oh, totally.
Let alone be a musician as well.
Every high school band was always like saving up for a van, like a band van, or one of their parents had a van, and that was the band van. It was an essential ingredient.
I remember playing strings as a kid, and the one kid who played... Well, I don't think we were allowed to play the bass because it was too big, but he played, like, the cello, and he was still, like, way tiny on that thing. It looked like he was playing an upright
bass. It's like a half-sized cello.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Cello's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so good. I heard that the range of the cello, or why people love cello so much, is because the range, the vocal, not vocal, but musical range of the cello is... the same range of a mother's womb, and that's why people love it so much.
That's interesting.
I don't know if it's true, but it sounds pretty good.
Sounds true.
Yeah.
That actually does kind of make sense to another thing, because I had a voice teacher, and we would work through our resonators as if they were instruments, and so it would start out nasally as... Well, it's going to sound great for the podcast, but it would be violin was nasally, and then viola was like chest, and then it would get to cello, and that was right in that kind of like lower, and then you have the double bass. But like the cello would be right in that kind of area.
I think it's real. I remember doing those warm-ups, I think for Spring Awakening at Towson, and everyone was so obsessed with double bass.
Of course, who are you to come in here like that? We had some fun.
Yes, those are awesome. I still do them.
Yeah, it's great. Those exercises, they warm you up, like, physically, but they also just, like, break down your, like, inhibitions of, like, oh, I'm gonna look silly. Well, it's like, well, you already danced around like an elf and, like, you know, shook your butt around while calling someone out and threw little chocolate kisses across the circle at them. Like, just, you're fine.
You're fine.
Just
when I'm like with a bunch of people at a rehearsal or whatever for a show, I'm able to kind of turn off that like, oh, I look silly, because everybody else is an actor, you know, they don't give a fuck. But when I was in college and taking classes, you know, a lot of times in college theater classes, sometimes like especially general theater, you end up with a bunch of people who aren't really theater people, and you know, sometimes you have to do some really weird shit in those classes. And I remember like a couple of occasions where I think we all had to get up and pretend to be monsters, and I just still, and there was a girl in the class that I had the biggest crush on.
Aww.
And like, I just remember, like, you know, having to throw myself into being this ridiculous monster, and just in the back of my brain thinking, like, I look so ridiculous right now. Like, you know.
Yeah, but if you're able to, like, slip into that ridiculous self and then come back to your, you know.
See, I don't think I did. I think I just looked like an utter fool for about 15 minutes.
That's the thing. Yeah. If you're unsure of yourself, like, that will read. Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. That was like a big point of vanishing point. We just had to not care what we looked or how we sounded. Like, I've never spoken in an Irish accent before, and maybe it didn't read, but I just had to do it. And sometimes you just look ridiculous, but people people will remember, whether they say it or not, they'll remember that person, like, having the courage to...
There's a bravery really put this, in that, yeah.
There is huge bravery in
people
that.
People want to be able to do that themselves.
Yes!
That's an admirable quality.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not like you're looking silly with this ridiculous face, like, for the entire production. Yeah. Like, they see more of it.
For your whole life.
Yeah, and yeah. So it's like, they get to see that you can be, like, serious and, like, sexy, and then, yeah. like, silly and funny, and it's like, oh, that makes a person... Yeah, that was more complete.
Exactly. Also, no matter how bad your accent is, it'll never be as bad as Kathy Bates' Baltimore accent in American Horror Story. It is atrocious.
I haven't heard it.
I heard that it was really bad.
It's really bad. But it's funny how often you hear actors, especially British actors, trying to do American accents and vice versa. There are so many famous movies, famous actors that are pretty bad, you know? And you can hear them, like, slipping in and out.
You're talking about accents?
Yeah, slipping in and out of accents.
You heard the story about how the pikey accent was invented for, what was it, Snatch?
No.
It was when...
Really?
Yeah, they heard Brad Pitt trying to do a British accent, and they thought it was so ridiculous that they created this kind of, like, pikey accent character that he could do this kind of...
I just assumed that was a real thing.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
It was some sort of kind of amalgamation of his inability to...
That's amazing. That's amazing.
You know, you wouldn't know it. Like, he fucking crushed in that role, so it's like, all right.
And they had that whole culture, like,
they built around it.
They made up a whole
They supported
culture.
It from, like, a...
Wow.
Filmmaking standpoint as well, so you know they didn't hang him out there to dry with it.
Just commit.
Yeah.
They'll make it work for you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, if you got a good team with you, like yeah. What's the most fun show that you've ever done?
Yeah.
Or the craziest, or the strangest?
Okay.
What's the memorable?
Okay. One of the most memorable shows I've ever done was Hair at Keegan Theater. It was amazing. I'll just say, like, a couple stories, but it was just so much fun. We got naked in this production, which was really cool, and we were all, like, pretty pumped about it. I mean, some people were nervous and some weren't, but I was not nervous. I was ready. It was like, why aren't we getting naked the first day?
Break the ice.
Just break the ice.
Off, you know?
But it was awesome because we like took our time and we did our thing and we all got naked and it was awesome and we all drank a little bit before just to ease our nerves and it was so beautiful and freeing. I've never felt such unity and everyone being on one accord. It was so beautiful.
I'm gonna do a naked show now.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing and of course that was the easiest part to do. I don't know why, but it was the easiest part to do after doing that. I guess you just build up all this fear in your head, and then you're like, wow, it's really nothing. But
you've got everyone else out there with you, and you've established that kind of trust in each other.
Exactly. And it was just an amazing show. Amazing people, crazy talent, and a lot of hard times, but a lot of beautiful and memorable times. I remember there's this one part where we're crawling on the ground. It was during 3500. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
So it's like the military part and we're talking about the army and we're all like army crawling on the ground. And there's this part that's like ripped open with... So it's... So there was one night, I guess like someone was like super gassy or something, but it's like the longest part ever. It's like ripped open. It was so awesome.
During a performance
in the middle of a show, I remember.
Wait, was it a performer or an audience?
It was a performer. But we're all like turned our back to the audiences and our asses are like facing the people and we're all army crawling. And it's just perfect timing. Like
that's
four
so
beats
funny.
Long of a fart.
Well, they kept time.
Yes, time stayed. It was so awesome. And I remember turning to one of my best friends, Christian, who
it's not
played
my fault,
Wolf.
Misdirected the fart threw me off.
Exactly. And I turned to my friend Christian, who played Wolf, and I was cracking the fuck up. I could not sing the rest of the song. But yeah, we just had like amazing moments like that. And I mean, everything about that show was so much fun. The people were lovely, and we're all best friends still. And it was a great experience. Definitely wild. We had one of the dressing rooms we called the Whiskey Lounge because it was filled. It's an Irish theater, and it was filled with Jameson bottles.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we had the V Lounge, which was my dressing room because it was all girls, like, so vagina lounge. And we used to make up all these, like, vagina songs. It was awesome.
Originals? Spoof style. No.
Original songs.
Nice.
It was great. It was an amazing experience, and it was definitely a risk because Hair is a weird show.
And a big show.
It's a huge show, and it doesn't really... You have to make it make sense. So we really tried to push war in the show and just all the inequalities that were thrown at us, or thrown at America during that time. So it was really cool. We touched on race, we touched on sexism, and we touched on ageism, we touched on war, we touched on drugs and sex, and it was awesome. And I think we tried to make it as real as possible and not just like happy hippies, but deviant hippies, like really fighting against the norm and really coming together. It was really awesome.
Yeah, that's a great time for a show like that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Do you listen to a lot of musical theater, or do you watch a lot of musical theater?
I see more plays than I see musicals. I just rather see a play.
Mm-hmm.
But I try...
You'd rather see a play than a musical?
Definitely.
Do you feel like you would just be too critical of the musical, like analyzing it too much? Or?
Well, I feel like a lot of musicals... So for plays, I see it for like straight up storytelling, and I feel like with musicals there's a little bit of spectacle and a little bit of watching a talent that's involved with musicals. And not that that's bad, but there's sometimes there's like a great dance number, and of course that does relate into some storytelling, but sometimes I'm like, oh my god, she just kicked face, like that was amazing. Oh my god, her turns are beautiful. Or wow, she sung that song beautifully. So sometimes it's with the spectacle or like the talent watching musicals. But with plays, it's, you're just immediately wrapped into a story. Not that you don't have that with musicals, but I feel like plays sometimes have that longer effect of you staying present with the story and just the story, mm-hmm. and not necessarily, oh my god, she's hitting this really high note for a really long time, which is still amazing, but I rather see a play for that aspect. And I try not to be critical when I see shows. I just want to see it for what it is, because art is art. Nothing is bad or good. It just is, and if it moved me, then awesome. If it didn't, awesome. So I try not to be critical, but I do see a lot of shows. I try and see as much theater as possible.
Yeah, there's that whole thing where, you know, sometimes it can be hard to get as sucked into a musical because people don't sing, you know. I mean, you know, people don't stop and sing when they're at like an emotional point in their lives. So it is just, there can be an element of more truth to it, you know, because like if it's done really well, mm-hmm. there is truth in those songs. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, yeah, people don't sing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's all based on... I mean, a lot of it is based on the writing. If the writing is just so good and it just makes sense for that person to be singing that way,
yeah,
it's all justified, then I am totally wrapped. I'm almost more wrapped in it than a play because it's just so real.
And if you can pair like the emotional apex of the play with a really great song,
Oh my gosh! I remember one of the most amazing performances was Christiane Knoll in Ragtime. I saw the revival before it went to Broadway at the Kennedy Center. I just remember being so captivated by her performance. Her acting was phenomenal, and her singing, she had perfect technique. It was crazy. But I felt like times where you felt like, oh my god, she's gonna break down, it just made her technique even stronger to support that emotion even more, which blew my mind. It's so easy to kind of like crack or settle into, I don't know, giving up almost. I don't even know if that makes sense. But there was something about her trusting in her, in what she has and trusting in the music and trusting in the piece, where when you thought she was going to break down and cry, her vocal technique and her just got even better, and she was just so committed, and I was so impressed by that. So yeah, that was amazing.
Have you ever done a straight play?
I have not. I've never done one.
Are you interested?
Totally. I would love to do one. I would love to do anything, really, but I would definitely love to do a straight play just because I love seeing them so much. There isn't, like, a particular show that I'd be down to do. I'm really down to do anything because I've never done one, but I would love to. I mean,
you act in these musicals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's pretty much it's the same, except for there are random breaks of singing, but I'm still acting. I did KCACTF with a friend of mine through Spring Awakening, and I remember thinking, like, why don't I do these straight plays? This is so exciting. And it was just a liberating and really, it was a crazy experience. I was honored to be there and learned so much and got great feedback and I've never done just like straight plays and scenes and monologues with people. So it was really cool to hear what I heard and to take that with me and get a little inspired to do more.
Yeah.
More stuff and hopefully plays eventually.
I feel like that it's not really any different other than the fact that it's a little bit easier doing a straight play because you don't have to work the music in, you know?
Well, it all depends on what you're used to and what you're comfortable with. You just have to buy into whatever the play is selling, like whatever message or whatever world is within that play, just like you have to get into it for mm-hmm. whatever style the musical is within.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the play. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're bringing a realness to what you're doing in the musical theater, because sometimes it can be a bit campy or showy, and sometimes that's just the style of the production.
Yeah.
But if you're bringing authenticity to it, then of course, yeah, that can translate.
All about the authenticity.
One of my proudest moments wasn't, I wouldn't say it was in a show. I think it was when I did the musical theater intensive that I did at Signature Theater. It's a 2-week intensive where students, I guess high school through college or even post-college, they come together at Signature Theater and we take dance classes and acting classes and singing lessons and master classes, and we audition for different theaters, and it's very rigorous, and I think it's like 10 hours a day for 2 weeks, and you just learn so much. And I remember being terrified and not knowing if I would make it out of the program, just because it's so rigorous and you're surrounded by extremely talented people who are just willing to learn. And I remember just saying, just be a sponge, just learn as much as you can, and note what you need to work on, note what you have, note what you can build from what you have. I think that's one of my proudest moments, being able to successfully get through and finish the Overtures program at Signature Theater. It was a great experience, the most humbling experience I've ever gone through, and I've learned a lot. And after doing that program, I was like, oh my God, I have so much to learn. I am not ready. I mean, but we're all learning and we're all growing through every experience we have theatrically and through life. But being able to book a show right out of Overtures was a huge surprise and a huge blessing. It was one of my dreams to work at Signature, and for them to see the potential, I guess, that I showed, and I was honored, and I got to work with amazing people. So I think that's one of my proudest moments.
That's definitely. Awesome. You went through the program and they couldn't let you go. They had to keep you around.
I was shocked. I remember I was auditioning the day that they gave us free tickets for a show that they were doing, like their season closer or something like that. And I went to the audition, and then I saw the show, and the artistic director, he was like, hey, yeah, you got it, Danoa. It's like, nice. Freaking out. He's like, yeah, I wanted to ease it for you. I didn't want you to, like, drive home and, like, think about it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you got it. It's cool. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It was it was a crazy experience. And doing that show, I mean, it was a new work, and we were working with the writer and the composer every day, and for a while I was like, what am I doing here? These are like the best actors in DC. Like, what the hell am I doing? Like, oh my God. But then I just had to believe in myself and just try and make friends. And yeah, I was like, you're here. Like, they casted you and you chose and you said yes. So just do it. So I think overtures and then doing the show Crossing is what the musical's called. After doing those two, I was really proud of myself for saying yes to doing those and coming every day and doing it. I was really proud of myself. So definitely those two. I'll say those two. My proudest moments.
Sounds pretty
cool. Did you have to take time off from school in order to be a part of that program?
I did. Well, not the program. That was during the summer and it's only 2 weeks. But I did take off school to do Crossing. And then after that, I was getting some calls and stuff like that to do more work. But I thought I was going to go back to school the following semester. And then I ended up not doing that. And then I ended up doing Keegan Hair over there. And then I understudied Once on This Island at Olney. So it was like a great year of doing theater. And I was shocked. I didn't see that coming. And I got to audition a lot. I just auditioned a ton just because I was staying with my friend Christian in D.C. And then that's how I got the show that I'm doing next at Ford's Theater. It's a new show called Freedom Song. So I'm really excited.
Cool. So that's what you're working on now?
I'll be starting that in March. Be swinging that show in March, like mid-March.
So you have music for sale right now, right?
Yes, I have an EP, or we have an EP on sale on our website through Bandcamp. It's lushlifemusic.bandcamp.com, and you can purchase the EP on there. You can purchase songs individually or purchase the whole album.
All the links will be included in the description.
Yes. So please get it. It's awesome.
We would like to thank Inez Nasera, or La Inez Nasera Wellibon, for joining us here on People Are Strange.
Beautiful!
Yes, thank you very much. We do appreciate you coming out here and joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a good way to spend a rainy, gray day.
Oh, awesome.
It's very British outside today.
Yes, nice people, coffee.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Enjoy your light peppermint mocha.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Yeah.
It's so good.
We'll, like we said, put a link to where people can follow you at the bottom of this page, and we'll check back with you down the line and see how things are going with you.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Time's up. Get out.
Thank you for joining us for People Are Strange. If you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes, email us andyandjk@gmail.com.
And most importantly, tell your friends.
I'm Andy.
And I'm JK.
Be sure to check back with us next week for another exciting new episode of
People Are Strange.